Hey everybody, Daniel here. And as a pastor with Meridian Church of God, we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope that you are encouraged and inspired by this message. Enjoy! When I was growing up, I wanted to be a professional athlete since all my dreams of sports did not include becoming a horse racing jockey. Being small was a problem for me. Now I know no one wants to hear a middle-aged Uncle Rico commiserate about his old dreams of sports glory, so let's shift to you. What makes you feel small? Maybe you had a family member or teacher or coach who belittled your intelligence or your character or strength. And whenever you hear a trigger word like lazy or ugly or stupid, you feel a little smaller. What makes you feel small? Maybe it happens when people leave you out, or it happens when you hear people boast about their families. Or when you see a friend's clean and beautiful and creative house, what makes you feel small? Maybe you have a relative or friend who is doing all kinds of important work, and even though you try not to compare yourself, their accomplishment makes you feel like a loser. Whatever makes you feel small, I think the story today can encourage you. This story is so good that it is one of the few ministry stories of Jesus that can be found in all four Gospels. Now, I might be wrong, but I think it's the only miracle that happened during Jesus' ministry that is recorded in all four Gospels. So to set the scene, Jesus was trying to get away with his disciples for a restful retreat up on a mountainside. But a large crowd of people heard about the healings Jesus had done and chased them down before they could get away. John 6:5 says, "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?'" Jesus had 12 disciples. So why did Jesus single Philip out here? Well, one likely reason was that Philip came from a place called Bethsaida. And Bethsaida was nearby, so Philip was familiar with the area. I grew up near Danville, Illinois, and a few times friends from Indiana have said something like, "I'm going to be stopping in Danville, Illinois. Where should I eat?" And because I'm from Danville, I am familiar with what the locals like and what's there. So I always recommend people to eat at Monocle's Pizza. Well, they're kind of looking. Jesus may be looking for something like that from Philip. And in John 6:7, we see how Philip answers Jesus. He said, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough food for each one to have a bite." What did Jesus ask Philip? He asked, "Where shall we buy bread?" Did Philip answer Jesus' question? No. Instead of answering Jesus' question, Philip pointed out that they couldn't afford to buy enough bread. Now, when I tell people heading to Danville that Monocle's Pizza is good, I usually add a little disclaimer that the pizza is a little pricey, but it's worth it. Now, Philip could have recommended some place to buy bread and then added a disclaimer that, well, we could buy it here, but we couldn't afford it even if we tried. Philip simply answered that they could not afford to buy enough bread. Philip's familiarity with the answer or with the area wasn't the only reason Jesus asked Philip the question. We are told Jesus' motives in John 6:6 that we had skipped over. It says, "Jesus asked this only to test Philip, for Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do." Now, why did Jesus test Philip? Why do any teachers test their students? Now, although students are usually graded on their tests, the reason for testing goes deeper than grades. Testing is a way that teachers challenge their students to learn. Jesus' brother James was not one of the 12 disciples, but he did learn from his brother. And James gave us some insight about testing with his words in James 1:2-3. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." A pastor named Andy Stanley tells a story about doing so poorly on a math test that after the teacher graded it and returned it back to him, Instead of putting a letter grade on the top of it like A or B or F, the teacher wrote, "No." That's probably worse than an F. If this test was about Jesus grading Philip's faith, perhaps Philip would have received a no. But what if Jesus' test was less about giving Philip a grade and more about helping Philip grow in faith and perseverance? John 6:8 says, another of Jesus' disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Now, spoke up conveys that there was some tension in the air. Going back to Philip, you can't think that that answer that Jesus, that Philip gave to Jesus, was spoken calmly. Think about it. Jesus and his disciples were tired and they needed rest. They'd been meeting a lot of needs, and a bunch of people had chased them down and were wanting even more from them. They had already done so much for so many people, but instead of a thank you, they get more, a need for more, more problems to solve, more mouths to feed, more work to do. And yet, here they were, tired and hungry, and they were being asked to give more than they had. This was no small problem. So it's hard to blame Philip for being anxious. It wouldn't be too surprising if most of the other disciples felt the same way. Now, after Philip answers saying, "Jesus, we don't even have enough," there's tension in the air. Philip has just spewed his anxiety on Jesus. And when Andrew spoke up, the other disciples may have been nervously wondering, what was Andrew going to say? Was Andrew going to take Philip's side and risk upsetting Jesus? Was he going to tell Philip to calm down? You know how that usually goes. Was he going to try to ease the tension with a joke or lighthearted comment? Well, let's see. So Andrew spoke up, said, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" In a lot of ways, what Philip and Andrew had to say was similar. They both doubted that the little that they had could go very far in feeding thousands of people. Philip focused only on what they didn't have, expressing no faith. While Andrew also mentioned that they had a boy who had a small amount of food, and Andrew expressed a small amount of faith. Again, this was no small problem. And when it comes to a great task of feeding so many people in such a short amount of time, it doesn't seem like there would be much difference between no faith and a tiny amount of faith. But that didn't seem to be Jesus' attitude. John 6, 6:10 through 11, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in the place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks. For most of us, the small amount that we have is not a reason to give thanks. Now, most of us tend to look at what we don't have, and we despise the small amount that we can offer, feeling like it's not good enough, it's inadequate, it's irrelevant. But for God, small doesn't usually seem to be the problem. It is for people like me, and maybe even people like you. There's a story in the Hebrew Bible about a time when Jewish exiles returned to their homeland, and they rebuilt the temple. When they compared their shoddy work and small new temple to what it used to be, the one that Solomon had built, they were sad. They were discouraged about how small it was in comparison to the glorious temple Solomon had built. And so God gave a prophet named Zechariah a message to these people who felt small. The New Living Translation of Zechariah 4:10 says, this is God's message through the prophet to the discouraged people. "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begun. One of the obstacles that we face is that we too often despise what is small. We want to be great and to do great big things that will give our lives purpose and meaning. But I wonder if there are times when we're trying to figure out how to do big things, God is just looking for something small. Now, Jesus didn't complain about the small amount of faith Andrew expressed or the small amount of food and bread that they had to offer. Jesus gave thanks for the small. Do you ever feel small? Do you ever despise what you lack? Do you ever wish you had more? Do you ever wish that you were more? Luke tells of a time when in Luke 17:5, the apostles, now these are the 12 disciples, said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Now, you might expect Jesus to love this request, and I suspect he probably did, but we might suspect that Jesus would reply by saying something like, "Hey, you want more faith? Request, prayer answered. Amen." And then maybe Jesus would wave his hands or find some mystic, invisible way to give them more faith. But that's not what he does. Listen to Jesus' response to the disciples' desire to have their faith increased. Jesus replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can." Jesus didn't do some sort of invisible miracle that influenced, infused the disciples with more faith. Jesus didn't even tell them they needed more faith. Instead, he told them that they needed to have a small amount of faith and act on it. Being encouraged with Jesus, it doesn't take great faith. If you have just a small amount of faith, you can. You can act on it. You can take that step. Mother Teresa has two great quotes that fit well with today. She said, "In this life, we cannot do great things. We can only do small things with great love." And she said, "If you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one." Now, I want to make a practical suggestion on how to apply what God is saying to you. Instead of being like Philip and focusing on what you don't have, be more like Andrew and offer something small. Offer a small amount of faith and act on it. Take that step. Now, according to Jesus, God is looking for people who are willing to act on a small amount of faith. So please don't despise the smallness of what you have now. You can take the next small step of faith and do the next right thing. Now, if the next right thing for you is putting your faith in Jesus, I'm going to offer to pray with me. God, it might not be much, but I put my faith in you. I will follow Jesus and ask for you to help to turn me away from whatever I need to turn away from. I trust you with my life, so please take who I am and what I have and use me for good. Use me for your purposes. Fill me with your spirit so that I can do small things with great love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we never know what God will do with what we offer. The story goes on in John 6:11. Jesus then took the loaves, he gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. There were even lots of leftovers. Now, that is a great outcome. But let's go back to the beginning. Who was Jesus testing? He was testing Philip. Now, you might say that Philip failed the test, but I wouldn't. Jesus wasn't trying to expose Philip's failures. He was helping his faith grow. The only New Testament book that tells us much about what the disciples did after Jesus ascended into heaven is the book of Acts. And outside of Jesus' right-hand man, Peter, Acts doesn't say much individually about any one of the 12 disciples. Other than Peter, there's really only one other disciple who gets a few stories about just him. And that is Philip. We see in Acts chapter 8 that God tested Philip a few more times by asking him to do a couple of things that didn't make complete sense at the time. But instead of making a realistic point or asking why, Philip had learned to trust and obey the voice of Jesus. Philip learned to trust in the Spirit of God to lead him step by step. And the results were a few great stories of how God used him. And they ended up being in the most read book of all time. Imagine if God is testing our faith right now in order to prepare us to take small steps that will lead to something great. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are holy and good. You provide us with everything we need. Sometimes we get caught up in what we don't have, and we fail to give thanks for the daily bread you have provided. Sometimes we get so overwhelmed by the size of mountains we face that we fail to see the small step of the path that will eventually take us to the mountaintop. Thank you for not despising our small faith or small beginnings. This morning, instead of asking you to increase our faith, we ask that you help us to see how we already have enough faith to act on. May we follow the voice of Christ wherever you lead. Please fill us with your Spirit, and as we go, may you take the small gifts that we offer with great love and use them to feed a multitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to the Meridian Church of God podcast. If you would like to subscribe, you can find us on iTunes or other podcast services. Please like us on our Facebook page as we offer videos and other content. We also have messages and information posted on our website, Meridian Chog, that's Meridian, CHOG.org. We appreciate this opportunity to connect with you. May God bless you, and may you be a blessing.